I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Exactly my point. Well, hello everybody. Hello, hello. I'm listening to this song.
Seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
All right. The name of that song is The Essential Fred Astaire. Cheek to Cheek. So his name is Fred Astaire. And so what I was doing, I was looking for a background song that kind of goes with the theme, right? Ironically, this will be my third episode on codependency, addictions, and attachments. Yes, it is. So anyways, that's the reason for that song, that's going on. I hope it doesn't confuse me when I'm trying to record this for you guys. I took some notes down today, very good notes from my program that I went to. Usually Tuesdays is one of the best ones because this is like really intense. This is like hardcore stuff right here. I mean hardcore stuff because like not just anybody can go to this particular group. You would have had to complete it a few things in life and or in a program so that you can qualify to go to this top secret group that exists on Tuesday nights. There's other groups, but not a lot of people, not everybody's allowed into this one. Like somebody has to secretly tell you and say, hey, listen, there's this one group and I think you should go, but you have to also qualify. And so anyways, I've known about it. I've been going to it. And it took me back a few weeks back because I was going last year, but then I stopped because everything was going better. And then I stopped going to my group and that was it. Well, what else has happened ever since our last podcast? Since our last podcast, I made another podcast that I did not publish. And that one is, I don't know when I'm going to publish that one yet. It's not going to be, I mean, this is the next one you guys are getting. It's this one. I'm barely going to record this one. What else? So yeah, so last week I was sick. And then last week I lost my car keys. So when I had lost my car keys, I called the locksmith to come over. So prior to that, the day before that, I had fever and I was like, I had a big cough and, you know, I had the flu, man. I was really sick. So I couldn't find my keys. So the last place I thought my keys were inside of my car. So I break into my car. So I mess up my door handle and my, you know, where the key goes and everything. So I finally break into my car and on like the hottest day and I had fever and I was just suffering there. I was like, oh my God. Finally get to open my car, look for the key. Key wasn't there. Like, dang it. So then I called the locksmith. So when the locksmith gets there, he you know, he starts taking the car apart. You know, he's making a new key for the ignition. And then I told the guy, I said, listen, I'm going to be inside my house. You call me and I'll come back over here. And I'll pay you when you're done. He said, okay, good. So as I'm walking towards my front porch, I look at the floor and there is my shiny key in the sand. And I was like, oh my God. So I picked it up and I go running back to the guy and I said, wait, stop. Don't take it apart. So he goes, what? You found the key? I go, yeah, I did. So then by that time, he already had taken it apart and he put WD-40 inside of the keyhole and everything. Then the key won't start. So I was like, oh my God, whatever. You know what? Just do whatever you got to do. So anyways, long story short, He had to make me another key. He made me another key. And so anyways, that was the story with the key. I know you guys were wondering what happened to the key. That's what happened. So I finally got another key. So let's get back on the subject. I'm going to pause this every now and then. You're probably not even going to notice that much. And I'm going to pause it because I'm going to review the notes that I have, because I have very good notes. There's random comments that I wrote down here, random notes. But at the time when I was writing them down, I was like, oh my God, this is gold. I got to write it down. And, you know, go through these notes for you guys. It's like the more and more I research attachments and codependency and all these things, I'm just amazed. It's like, what a big epidemic that nobody talks about. But yet, the whole world is suffering from it. This is what people don't talk about. This is what doesn't come out on Instagram or Snapchat. No, no, no. Not this. So, that song right here, the one that I put in the beginning, the guy's talking about he's in heaven when he's dancing with this girl cheek to cheek, right? And that's exactly when you're in that honeymoon phase with the drug, when you're in the honeymoon phase at the club, when you're all drunk and having fun, or when you're in love, or when you're in a night of passion or whatever. You know, the point is that there is that stage. There's that beautiful stage that has you, you know, making poems and writing songs and buying flowers and buying gifts and doing all these things and saying ridiculous little things that you mean at the time. So, I mean, our mind gets that high, and there comes the attachment, because our mind wants to keep getting that high again. You know, our mind needs all those endorphins. It needs more and more and more. So it wants to keep producing them. So it goes back to the last memory that gave it that many endorphins. And if it was love, then it goes back to the person and back to the person, back to the person. It's like, give me endorphins, 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 give me endorphins. Or if it's the drug, you know, same thing. The only thing that changes is the, you know, your, the stuff that's giving you satisfaction. You know, it could be a person, or it could be a drug, or it could be alcohol, or it could be pills, gambling. I mean, so many other things. But we always go back, because our brain remembers it was pleasure at some point. Problem is that what happens if that is taken away from you like this? That's when you're screwed. You know, you either suffer on the spot at the time, or you become a slave to it. And they're both horrible. Ask me. Trust me. I know. Okay, so I'm going to pause this every now and then. I am going to read my notes. Stand by. Okay, so here's one of the notes that I wrote down today. The mentor said, repeating the same conduits, the same patterns, are going to give you worse consequences in the future. So he said that if you think your life is bad right now, if you keep repeating the same patterns, in a month, you're going to be worse. In a year, you're going to be worse. In 5 years of marriage, you're going to be worse. And if you talk about addiction, if it's a drug, it's going to be worse, because our mind, he said that our ego is going to want control. It's going to want to control it, and it's going to lose control. You can't control a drug. You can't reason with drug. You can't reason with insane. There's no logic there. Cocaine doesn't understand logic, and neither does toxic. Whatever affects me is truly only me. Not anyone else. It's me. It's me that expects things from other people and allows things. So the only one truly affecting you or affecting me in a codependent relationship or in a toxic relationship or in an attachment is me. Because I'm the one expecting nice words. I'm the one expecting, you know, for reciprocity. I'm the one expecting a good morning in return, or a good night in return, or nice words of affirmation in return. It's me. If the other person doesn't want to give it to you, doesn't want to give you love, respect, or attention, or anything like that, they're not the one with the problem, because that's all they know how to give. They're giving you, if their capacity from 1 through 10, their capacity of loving and respecting is a 4, but you're expecting a 10 because you're a 10, and then you're that's when the conflicts happen, because you're like, whoa, what the heck? I'm a 10. I should be getting everything, you know, as a 10, you know, in the quality. But I'm getting 4 and I'm getting 3s. It's not the other person's fault. The other person's capacity of giving, of caring, of paying attention to detail. They might look like a 10, but their actions are of a 4, of a 3, of a 1, or of a 0.1. It's not their fault. That's who they are. That's how they want to be. That's where they want to live. That's how they want to act towards you in that moment. So it's your fault for accepting. It's your fault for for accepting and for, you know, you want them to love you the way you want to be loved. You want to be treated the way you want to be treated. But you're mad at them because they're not doing it exactly to the dot of how you want it. It is not their fault. It is your fault for expecting, for depending on the other person to bring you your happiness, your portion of happiness, your little baggie, your little fix of happiness. I know you're liking the notes. I like them too. Hold on. Here's another one. It kind of has to do with the previous note, and it says, the agony is prolonged if you do not make a conscience-clear decision to stop your attachment. So we prolong it and it grows. So if you don't stop it right now, if you continue with it, it's only going to grow. You're going to get more attached, and it's going to get more toxic, more attached, more toxic, more attached, more toxic, more attached, more toxic. Unless you make a conscious decision and go through the, you know, you sweat it out, go through the dwelling, like if somebody passed away, go through that dark phase. That's the one that everybody fears. That's why we remain attached. You know, we don't want to go through the heroin fever because it's a bitch. You know, you don't want to go through those sweats. They also talked about, like I just said right now, the, you know, that fever that you get when you're in drugs. I mean, I've never done heroin, but I have done other drugs that, you know, put me like all nervous and like get all scared, like if Freddy Krueger's chasing me or some shit. Or get all paranoid and everything. So when you're going through all that stuff, you're sweating it, you're living the uncomfortable part of the drug or of the dependency, codependency. They say that's where the growth comes, in the dark. And that some plants grow in the dark, and some grow even more in the dark. So because we don't wanna go through that suffering, we would rather go through the suffering of tolerating crap, of tolerating the nervousness of not having the drug, because we don't want to go through that fever. You know, he talked about abstinence And abstinence could not necessarily be in you know, in a sexual way. But the abstinence of your attachment, that's the bitch right there. That's it. I mean, that's when people are shaking for drugs or for alcohol or for a person. I mean, you can fucking shake. And I've shaken for all of those three. You know, but you could. I mean, you can literally, your hands would literally be shaking because you don't have that fix. That abstinence from your attachment. I mean, you might as well have 110 degree fever and shit because it's going to feel the same. Okay, on to the next note. Stand by. After the passion, after the honeymoon phase comes the disease called attachment. So after the honeymoon phase is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated, after that passion with your drug of choice, let's just call it that, here comes the attachment. The disease called attachment. One of the things that give us hope in the class, what gave me hope, like little sayings that they say, you know, things that people talk about or the coordinator talks about. Every now and then he'll throw like a little golden nugget of information. And he says, you know, were you fine without the drug before at some point in your life? And the one person says yes. And then and I think about it. So wait a minute, I was fine without cocaine before. I was fine without a toxic relationship before. I was fine without the, you know, without prescription pills and all this crap. I was fine. But my mind plays tricks on me and it tells me that I'm gonna fucking die. But they told us, if you were fine before you had the attachment, you're gonna be fine without it. You just gotta sweat out that fever. You got to get out of your system. Hold on, moving on to the next note. So, talking about relationships, toxic relationships, it says, don't argue, don't discuss anything, don't suffer, don't fight. Just walk away from it. Don't beg for love. And then he said, harmony. Live in harmony. Live a life of harmony. And he said, guess what? Harmony doesn't beg for love. He doesn't. Or it doesn't. And he said that liberty is more beautiful than love. Liberty and harmony. He said it's more precious than love. Love is love, of course. But there's also other things that are beautiful. One of them is freedom. One of them, living in harmony. Well, I don't know what that is yet, right? Okay, so it says right here, even if it's talking about the ego, what offends you? So your ego, even if the ego was directing a live orchestra with musicians, different instruments, and if your ego was directing it exactly, and at the end of it, at the end of the orchestra playing, the ego would find something somewhere that it didn't like. That's if you with your ego was in a big ballroom and you're directing how everything should be. If you put everything in place, your ego still not going to be satisfied. You can never satisfy the ego. You can give it little snacks here and there so it can calm down. But it'll come back up. The ego has neurosis. Stand by. It says that the battles with your ego are won by losing. The battles of your ego are truly won by losing. Two ways to break a relationship is to impose and to demand. Those are two recipes of how you break up a relationship. You impose. What do you impose? I guess you can impose, well, your desires, what you want, what you like, attention, all those things. I mean, you tell them, you tell the person, well, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then by you demanding what the other person has to do, it causes rebellion on the other person. And they'll just repulse. They'll just push you away. You lose credibility. You'll lose value. Nobody likes nothing imposed on them. Liberate the capacity of being right all the time. No, I didn't say it right. Liberate the capacity of always wanting to be right. I like that one. Let's see. And just remember, people don't have to love you, first of all. Second of all, you don't have to beg for love. Third of all, there's no magic tricks that you have to do. There's no hoops that you have to jump through so somebody can love you. Somebody loves you, they're going to love you just the way and perfectly you are. Without your imperfections. That's real love right there. You know, when you accept somebody with all their flaws. You know, because it's easy to love a beautiful woman with, you know, that looks good on the outside. Or a beautiful person that looks good on the outside. But time brings out the real colors. Time brings out the real person. So today, as people were sharing their testimonies in class, it was just amazing because, you know, here's people from all walks of life, they tell you. All walks of life. Some of these people are really, really cool people that I like, that I know. Some people I don't really know. And it's amazing their stories. And at the end of all their conversations, all their tears and all their sharing of life experiences. And as I was taking my notes, you know, I was, you know, let's say, for example, it was six people that were sharing. And as soon as each one of them stopped sharing, I would repeat this word, attachment. Attachment. Somebody else shared, and at the end of it, in my brain, I was like, attachment, attachment, attachment. So all these people, men, women, older men, older women, younger, I mean, everybody, including myself, everybody that has severe, strong life issues, like a divorce, or like somebody was in jail, or something happened serious, you know, all these things are because of an attachment to something. Again, drugs, alcohol, or a person. So part of my notes, it says, a woman got kidnapped, abused, and her kid watched. And got emotionally and physically abused, suffered beatings, suffered rape, suffered attacks, suffered violence because of an attachment. An attachment. She thought he was gonna change. Okay. To see a woman, that was one person. To see a woman cry and cry and cry because her current person that got her pregnant, the guy hits her. Well, she didn't say that he hit her. At least not when she was pregnant. But she, how do you say? She said it without saying it. She lost a baby, 8 months old, 8 months pregnant. She lost a baby. Right after an argument. That guy's a piece of trash. And she can't leave him. Because she's attached. She lost her baby, guys. 8 month old baby. Born in her stomach, right? Her baby had died, so they had to give her like special medicine to like detox her body because she was getting sick too. So abused, beat up. Even after that happened, he still keeps on, you know, mistreating her, abusing her. She's not pregnant anymore. She's still with the guy. Attachment. Next, heard another woman complain about her neglected and controlled. Live and abuse. Oh, heard another woman complain about neglect and about controlling and abuse. Anyways, that one, another attachment, another person with attachment. Man, divorced and lost all material things. Man lived in the streets. Man lived in his car. Man lost his manager position at a job he was at 24 years because of his attachment to an abusive relationship. Let's see. Soon a man loses his home. Soon a man loses his family. And went into deep depression and started doing drugs and started doing prescription drugs out of his depression and out of his attachment. So anyways, what they said about all this, they said, think about what you want and make a decision when your mind is clear. Don't act on impulse. Do not act on a moment of high emotions. You don't do that. You just got to be clear. And, you know, it was amazing because for the most part today, there was not people talking a lot about drugs or about alcohol or anything like that. It was mostly, honestly, guys, it was attachments, codependencies, and addictions to people. You know, like you would say, well, you know, how is an addiction to a person bad, or how is it toxic or whatever? It can get bad. I mean, I just told you a story about a guy that hit his pregnant girl and she loses the baby. That's pretty fucking bad. He's not a drug. He ain't no fucking alcohol. He's not a prescription pill. He's a person. And she is attached to him. She's not even married to the guy. She's attached to him. I mean, I just told you stories about professional men. Guys that are like doing big things in life over here. And they're being fucking mopped. The floor's being mopped by those guys. No comment with that one, but I'm telling you. There's just so much going on. You know, I'm talking about these guys, like one of those guys is like government guy. So you're telling me that codependency and attachments are not big? It's not a big epidemic? No way. I mean, it's big, really big. So that was it for my notes. Okay, that's what I came up with as far as my notes. There's a few more, but some of these are in Spanish, so I, you know, for me to translate them, I kind of had to like, you know, struggled a little bit, you know, because I'm recording at the same time. But one thing that I do know is that for the several groups that I go to, you know, they say one day at a time. And the instructor today looked at all of us with a really pissed off face. And he fucking told us, he said, one day at a time. He said, none of you guys are on drugs, but one day at a time. None of you guys are alcoholics, but it's the same medicine. One day at a time. Stay the fuck away from toxic one day at a time. And that was today's episode. That was today's. Okay, so I hope you guys like it. Leave me some comments. Send me a text message or let me know if you guys are even listening to these things, because, you know, I mean, I enjoy doing these things. Another one that I'm going to be doing pretty soon is on cryptocurrency and the blockchain. If you don't know what cryptocurrency is, or Bitcoin, or the blockchain, you might want to Google that thing, because it's bigger than what you imagine it is. It's just, I mean, it's not even a conspiracy theory no more. It's like you can Google this shit and it'll tell you, bam, bam, bam. I mean, it's like, I'll give you a little bit of an idea of what I'll be talking about when I talk about blockchain and I talk about, you know, the little that I know about these things. But the little that I know is, I mean, it's fucking amazing information, because you can just branch out and just find out so much. 2009, Bitcoin was created. It sold for 10 cents a coin. And it's not a physical coin. It's a cryptocurrency. It's a digital coin, like the Matrix, you know? So this guy buys two pizzas from Pizza Hut, 2009, and he pays with Bitcoin. I think he paid like $30 of Bitcoin worth of, or 30 something dollars worth of Bitcoin to the, you know, to Pizza Hut. Had that man not ever done that, if he had just kept this $30 worth of Bitcoin, which was, I think, 300 Bitcoins that he sold, it ended up being like $281 million or some ridiculous amount of money that it's equal to now, if he would have saved it. What else is another fact about Bitcoin? In Switzerland and in other parts of the world, they're really doing implants, like a chip, like a microchip. You know, they put it inside of your skin, the size of a grain of rice, and you can buy, you know, anywhere that takes Bitcoin, you know, you just scan it right there, you just put your hand right there, and you can pay for stuff, and the form of payment is Bitcoin. I mean, if this kind of gives you a hint of where I believe that this is going, I mean, I don't see why not. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I don't agree with where it's going, but it gets very interesting. Very interesting. You know, like you can actually, I mean, if you've heard about the dark web, the way you make payments to there, like if you want to buy like a missile, or you want to buy somebody's head, or you want to buy something illegal, weapons or anything like that, you're not going to pay with the cash, guys. You're going to pay with cryptocurrency. You're going to pay with Bitcoin, you know? So where do I imagine that a lot of the cartel money is, or a lot of the drug money is, or a lot of illegal money is? I want to say it's in cryptocurrency. Because it's untraceable, it's decentralized money. So if I go to Mexico today and I have $10,000 with me, cash, and they find that out, I'm going to get a big, big fine. You cannot cross $10,000 from there to here or from here to there without you declaring and without you having a valid reason why and paying taxes on it. If you have $10,000, either you're bringing or taking to another country. But guess what? If I have Bitcoin, I can literally go to Mexico right now, collect $1 million from one of my friends, and put it in my digital cryptocurrency wallet via a computer over there. I mean, I don't even have to go there, but let's say that I was just to go over there and receive something, or give some kind of a service, or do something that they're gonna give me $1 million. So we do the transaction over there, and as I'm doing the transaction over there, it'll go in automatically. By the time I'm back in LA, I'm already gonna have my $1 million. And those $1 million, they don't have to be, it's not a physical wallet that you get. It's not an actual coin that you get. It's in this other thing that's called the blockchain. And that's another conversation for another day. So anyway, so this cryptocurrency thing, it's a really big deal. It's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. And at some point, it beat gold, right? Gold was like $1,800 an ounce for like years. It went down to 1,200. It fluctuates up and down to 1,800. So one Bitcoin a few weeks ago was like, I think it was like 13,700 or so. And then it started going down. And right now it's kind of low. Right now it's like 7,700 and something. So it's going down. But it'll go back up. I mean, it's just up and down, up and down. So it's pretty violent. It's not for the weak. It's not for the people that don't want to take risk. But I'm telling you, I think there's a whole future coming up in the cryptocurrency. And if there happens to be another war, I think that gold is going to be not obsolete. I mean, gold is gold. But I want to say that there's a reason why cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, as you say, let's say Bitcoin is worth 10 times more than an ounce of gold in 10 years. So 10 years ago, in 2009, one Bitcoin was worth 10 cents. 10 cents. And now it's worth more than that. More than 10 times worth than that. What else? I don't know. I just think it's bigger than what we think. I think it's the next system that the world is gonna adapt, because the system that we have right now, I mean, we have paper money. We have gold. I mean, we have it, it's backed up by gold, and we don't even have that much gold. We just keep borrowing, and I mean, it's just a mess. So the big world governments are starting to really, really look at this, They want the next presidential election to be through this thing called the blockchain. And the blockchain, I mean, that's where like the security of securities, unhackable system, And that's where the Bitcoin is. That's where Bitcoin comes from the blockchain. So anyways, I know I'm messing with you guys' head, but everything that I'm telling you is legit. Research it. Talk to me. All right, I'll do my research on that, because that's my next thing that I'll be talking about. Take care. Let me know how you guys like my podcast, guys. All right? See you later. Take care now. And give me a call sometime.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Exactly my point. Well, hello everybody. Hello. I'm listening to this song.
Seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
All right. The name of that song is The Essential Fred Astaire. Cheek to Cheek. So his name is Fred Astaire. And so what I was doing, I was looking for a background song that kind of goes with the theme, right? Ironically, this will be my third episode on codependency, addictions, and attachments. Yes, it is. So anyways, that's the reason for that song, for that song that's going on. I hope it doesn't confuse me when I'm trying to record this for you guys. I took some notes down today, very good notes for my program that I went to. Usually Tuesdays is one of the best ones, because this is like really intense. This is like hardcore stuff right here. I mean hardcore stuff because, like, not just anybody can go to this particular group. You would have had to complete it a few things in life and or in a program so that you can qualify to go to this top secret group that exists on Tuesday nights. There's other groups, but not a lot of people, not everybody's allowed into this one. Like, somebody has to secretly tell you and say, hey, listen, there's this one group and I think you should go, but you have to also qualify. And so anyways, I've known about it. I've been going to it, and it took me back a few weeks back, because I was going last year, but then I stopped because everything was going better. And then I stopped going to my group, and that was it. Well, what else has happened ever since our last podcast? Since our last podcast, I made another podcast that I did not publish. And that one is, I don't know when I'm going to publish that one yet. It's not going to be, I mean, this is the next one you guys are getting, is this one. I'm barely going to record this one. What else? So yeah, so last week I was sick. And then last week I lost my car keys. So when I had lost my car keys, I called the locksmith to come over. So prior to that, the day before that, I had fever and I was like, I had a big cough and, you know, I had the flu, man. I was really sick. So I couldn't find my keys. So the last place I thought my keys were inside of my car. So I break into my car. So I mess up my door handle and my, you know, where the key goes and everything. So I finally break into my car and on like the hottest day and I had fever. And I was just suffering there. I was like, oh my God. Finally get to open my car, look for the key. Key wasn't there. Like, dang it. So then I called the locksmith. So when the locksmith gets there, he, you know, he starts taking the car apart. You know, he's making a new key for the ignition. And then I told the guy, I said, listen, I'm going to be inside my house. You call me and I'll come back over here. And I'll pay you when you're done. He said, okay, good. So as I'm walking towards my front porch, I look at the floor, and there is my shiny key in the sand. And I was like, oh my gosh, so I picked it up. And I go running back to the guy, and I said, wait, stop, don't take it apart. So he goes, what, you found the key? I go, yeah, I did. So then, by that time, he already had taken it apart, and he put WD-40 inside of the keyhole and everything. Then the key won't start. So I was like, oh my God, whatever. You know what, just do whatever you gotta do. So anyways, long story short, he had to make me another key. He made me another key. And so anyways, that was the story with the key. I know you guys were wondering what happened to the key. That's what happened. So I finally got another key. So let's get back on the subject. I'm going to pause this every now and then. You're probably not even going to notice that much. And I'm going to pause it because I'm going to review the notes that I have, because I have very good notes. There's random comments that I wrote down here, random notes. But at the time when I was writing them down, I was like, oh my God, this is gold. I got to write it down. And, I'll go through these notes for you guys. It's like the more and more I research attachments and codependency and all these things, I'm just amazed. It's like, what a big epidemic that nobody talks about, but yet the whole world is suffering from it. This is what people don't talk about. This is what doesn't come out on Instagram or Snapchat. No, not this. So that song right here, the one that I put in the beginning, the guy's talking about he's in heaven when he's dancing with this girl cheek to cheek, right? And that's exactly when you're in that honeymoon phase with the drug, when you're in the honeymoon phase at the club, when you're all drunk and having fun. Or when you're in love, or when you're in a night of passion or whatever. You know, the point is that there is that stage. There's that beautiful stage that has you, you know, making poems and writing songs and buying flowers and buying gifts and doing all these things and saying ridiculous little things that you mean at the time. So, I mean, our mind gets that high, and there comes the attachment, because our mind wants to keep getting that high again. You know, our mind needs all those endorphins. It needs more and more and more. So it wants to keep producing them. So it goes back to the last memory that gave it that many endorphins. And if it was love, then it goes back to the person and back to the person, back to the person. It's like, give me endorphins, 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 give me endorphins. Or if it's the drug, you know, same thing. The only thing that changes is the, you know, your, the stuff that's giving you satisfaction. You know? It could be a person, or it could be a drug, or it could be alcohol, or it could be pills, gambling. I mean, so many other things. But we always go back, because our brain remembers it was pleasure at some point. Problem is that what happens if that is taken away from you like this? That's when you're screwed. You know, you either suffer on the spot at the time, or you become a slave to it. And they're both horrible. Ask me. Trust me. I know. Okay, so I'm going to pause this every now and then. I am going to read my notes. Standby. Okay, so here's one of the notes that I wrote down today. The mentor said, repeating the same conduits, the same patterns, are going to give you worse consequences in the future. So he said that if you think your life is bad right now, if you keep repeating the same patterns, in a month, you're going to be worse. In a year, you're going to be worse. In 5 years of marriage, you're going to be worse. And if you talk about addiction, if it's a drug, it's going to be worse. Because our mind, he said that our ego is going to want control. is going to want to control it, and it's going to lose control. You can't control a drug. You can't reason with drug. You can't reason with insane. There's no logic there. Cocaine doesn't understand logic, and neither does toxic. Whatever affects me is truly only me. Not anyone else. It's me. It's me that expects things from other people and allows things. So the only one truly affecting you or affecting me in a codependent relationship or in a toxic relationship or in an attachment is me. Because I'm the one expecting nice words. I'm the one expecting, you know, for reciprocity. I'm the one expecting a good morning in return, or a good night in return, or nice words of affirmation in return. It's me. If the other person doesn't want to give it to you, doesn't want to give you love, respect, or attention, or anything like that, they're not the one with the problem. Because that's all they know how to give. They're giving you, if their capacity from 1 through 10, their capacity of loving and respecting is a 4, but you're expecting a 10 because you're a 10, and then you're that's when the conflicts happen, because you're like, whoa, what the heck? I'm a 10. I should be getting everything, you know, as a, in 10, you know, in the quality. But I'm getting 4 and I'm getting 3s. It's not the other person's fault. The other person's capacity of giving, of caring, of paying attention to detail. They might look like a 10, but their actions are over 4, over 3, over 1, over 0.1. It's not their fault. That's who they are. That's how they want to be. That's where they want to live. That's how they want to act towards you in that moment. So it's your fault for accepting. It's your fault for for accepting, and for, you know, you want them to love you the way you want to be loved. You want to be treated the way you want to be treated. But you're mad at them because they're not doing it exactly to the dot of how you want it. It is not their fault. It is your fault for expecting, for depending on the other person to bring you your happiness. Your portion of happiness, your little baggie, your little fix of happiness. I know you're liking the notes. I like them too. Hold on. Here's another one. It kind of has to do with the previous note, and it says, the agony is prolonged if you do not make a conscience clear decision to stop your attachment. So we prolong it and it grows. So if you don't stop it right now, if you continue with it, it's only going to grow. You're going to get more attached, and it's going to get more toxic. More attached, more toxic, more attached, more toxic, more attached, more toxic. Unless you make a conscious decision and go through the, you know, you sweat it out. Go through the dwelling, like if somebody passed away. Go through that dark phase. That's the one that everybody fears. That's why we remain attached. You know, we don't want to go through the heroin fever, because it's a bitch. You know, you don't want to go through those sweats. They also talked about, like I just said right now, that, you know, that fever that you get when you're in drugs. I mean, I've never done heroin, but I have done other drugs that, you know, put me like all nervous and like get all scared, like if Freddy Krueger's chasing me or some shit. Or get all paranoid and everything. So when you're going through all that stuff, you're sweating it. You're living the uncomfortable part of the drug or of the dependency, codependency. They say that's where the growth comes, in the dark. And that some plants grow in the dark, and some grow even more in the dark. So because we don't wanna go through that suffering. We would rather go through the suffering of tolerating crap, of tolerating the nervousness, of not having the drug, because we don't want to go through that fever. You know, he talked about abstinence, and abstinence could not necessarily be in a sexual way, but the abstinence of your attachment, that's the bitch right there. That's it. I mean, that's when people are shaking for drugs or for alcohol or for a person. I mean, you can fucking shake. And I've shaken for all of those three. You know, but you could. I mean, you can literally, your hands would literally be shaking because you don't have that fix. That abstinence from your attachment. I mean, you might as well have 110 degree fever and shit, because it's going to feel the same. Okay, on to the next note. Stand by. After the honeymoon phase comes the disease called attachment. So after the honeymoon phase is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated, after that passion with your drug of choice, let's just call it that, here comes the attachment, the disease called attachment. One of the things that give us hope in the class, will give me hope, like little sayings that they say, you know, things that people talk about, or the coordinator talks about. Every now and then he'll throw like a little golden nugget of information, and he says, you know, were you fine without the drug before at some point in your life? And one person says yes, and then and I think about it. So wait a minute, I was fine without cocaine before. I was fine without a toxic relationship before. I was fine without without prescription pills and all this crap. I was fine. But my mind plays tricks on me, and it tells me that I'm gonna fucking die. But they told us, if you were fine before you had the attachment, you're gonna be fine without it. You just gotta sweat out that fever. You gotta get out of your system. Hold on, moving on to the next note. So, talking about relationships, toxic relationships, it says don't argue, don't discuss anything, don't suffer, don't fight. Just walk away from it. Don't beg for love. And then he said, harmony. Live in harmony. Live a life of harmony. And he said, guess what? Harmony doesn't beg for love. He doesn't. Or it doesn't. And he said that liberty is more beautiful than love. Liberty and harmony. He said it's more precious than love. Love is love, of course. But there's also other things that are beautiful. One of them is freedom. One of them, living in harmony. Well, I don't know what that is yet, right? Okay, so it says right here, even if it's talking about the ego, what offends you? So your ego, even if the ego was directing a live orchestra with musicians, different instruments, and if your ego was directing it exactly, and at the end of it, at the end of the orchestra playing, the ego would find something somewhere that it didn't like. That's if you with your ego was in a big ballroom and you're directing how everything should be if you put everything in place. Your ego still not going to be satisfied. You can never satisfy the ego. You can give it little snacks here and there so it can calm down, but it'll come back up. Your ego, that's neurosis. Stand by. Says that the battles with your ego are won by losing. The battles of your ego are truly won by losing. Two ways to break a relationship is to impose and to demand. Those are two recipes of how you break up a relationship. You impose. What do you impose? I guess you can impose, well, your desires, what you want, what you like, attention, all those things. I mean, you tell the person, well, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then by you demanding what the other person has to do, it causes rebellion on the other person. And they'll just repulse. They'll just push you away. You lose credibility. You'll lose value. Nobody likes nothing imposed on them. Liberate capacity of being right all the time. No, I didn't say it right. Liberate the capacity of always wanting to be right. I like that one. And just remember, people don't have to love you, first of all. Second of all, you don't have to beg for love. Third of all, there's no magic tricks that you have to do. There's no hoops that you have to jump through so somebody can love you. Somebody loves you, they're going to love you just the way and perfectly you are. With all your imperfections. That's real love right there. You know, when you accept somebody with all their flaws. You know, because it's easy to love a beautiful woman with, you know, that looks good on the outside. Or a beautiful person that looks good on the outside. But time brings out the real colors. Time brings out the real person. So today, as people were sharing their testimonies in the class, it was just amazing because, you know, here's people from all walks of life. They tell you all walks of life. Some of these people are really, really cool people that I like, that I know. Some people I don't really know. And it's amazing their stories. And at the end of all their conversations, all their tears and all their sharing of life experiences. And as I was taking my notes, you know, I was, you know, let's say, for example, it was six people that were sharing. And as soon as each one of them stopped sharing, I would repeat this word, attachment. Attachment. Somebody else shared, and at the end of it, in my brain, I was like, attachment, attachment, attachment. So all these people, men, women, older men, older women, younger, I mean, everybody, including myself, everybody that has severe, strong life issues, like a divorce, or like somebody was in jail, or something happened serious, you know, all these things are because of an attachment to something. Again, drugs, alcohol, or a person. So part of my notes, it says, a woman got kidnapped, abused, and her kid watched. and got emotionally and physically abused, suffered beatings, suffered rape, suffered attacks, suffered violence because of an attachment. Attachment. She thought he was gonna change. Okay. To see a woman, that was one person. To see a woman cry and cry and cry because her current person that got her pregnant, the guy hits her. Well, she didn't say that he hit her. At least not when she was pregnant. But she, how do you say? She said it without saying it. She lost a baby, 8 months old, 8 months pregnant. She lost the baby. Right after an argument. The guy's a piece of trash. That guy's a piece of trash. And she can't leave him. Because she's attached. She lost her baby, guys. 8 month old baby. Born in her stomach, right? Her baby was... The baby had died, so they had to give her, like, special medicine to, like, detox her body. Because she was getting sick, too. So, abused. Beat up. Even after that happened, he still keeps on, you know, mistreating her, abusing her. She's not pregnant anymore. She's still with the guy. Attachment. Next, heard another woman complain about her neglect and control and abuse. Oh, heard another woman complain about neglect and about controlling and abuse. Anyways, that one, another attachment, another person with attachment. Man, divorced and lost all material things. Man lived in the streets. Man lived in his car. Man lost his manager position at a job he was at 24 years because of his attachment to an abusive relationship. Let's see. Seeing a man lose his home. Seeing a man lose his family. And went into deep depression and started doing drugs and started doing prescription drugs out of his depression and out of his attachment. So anyways, what they said about all this, they said, think about what you want and make a decision when your mind is clear. Don't act on impulse. Do not act on a moment of high emotions. You don't do that. You just got to be clear. And, you know, it was amazing because for the most part today, there was not people talking a lot about drugs or about alcohol or anything like that. It was mostly, honestly, guys, it was attachments, codependencies, and addictions to people. You know, like you would say, well, you know, how is an addiction to a person bad, or how is it toxic or whatever? It can get bad. I mean, I just told you a story about a guy that hit his pregnant girl and she loses the baby. That's pretty fucking bad. He's not a drug. He ain't no fucking alcohol. He's not a prescription pill. He's a person. And she is attached to him. She's not even married to the guy. She's attached to him. I mean, I just told you stories about professional men, guys that are like doing big things in life over here, and they're being fucking mopped. The floor's being mopped by those guys. No comment with that one, but I'm telling you, there's just so much going on. You know, I'm talking about these guys, like one of those guys is like government guy. So you're telling me that codependency and attachments are not big? It's not a big epidemic? No way. I mean, it's big, really big. So that was it for my notes. Okay, that's what I came up with as far as my notes. There's a few more, but some of these are in Spanish, so for me to translate them, I kind of had to struggled a little bit, because I'm recording at the same time. But one thing that I do know is that for the several groups that I go to, they say one day at a time. And the instructor today looked at all of us with a really pissed off face. And he fucking told us, he said, one day at a time. He said, none of you guys are on drugs, but one day at a time. None of you guys are alcoholics, but it's the same medicine. One day at a time. Stay the fuck away from toxic one day at a time. And that was today's episode. Okay, so I hope you guys like it. Leave me some comments, send me a text message, or let me know if you guys are even listening to these things, because I enjoy doing these things. Another one that I'm going to be doing pretty soon is on cryptocurrency and the blockchain. If you don't know what cryptocurrency is, or Bitcoin, or the blockchain, you might want to Google that thing, because it's bigger than what you imagine it is. It's just, it's not even a conspiracy theory no more. It's like you can Google this shit and it'll tell you, bam, bam, bam. I mean, it's like, I'll give you a little bit of an idea of what I'll be talking about when I talk about blockchain, when I talk about, the little that I know about these things. But the little that I know is, it's fucking amazing information, because you can just branch out and just find out so much. 2009, Bitcoin was created. It sold for 10 cents a coin. And it's not a physical coin. It's a cryptocurrency. It's a digital coin, like the Matrix, So this guy buys two pizzas from Pizza Hut, 2009, and he pays with Bitcoin. I think he paid like $30 of Bitcoin worth of, or 30 something dollars worth of Bitcoin to Pizza Hut. Had that man not ever done that, if he had just kept this $30 worth of Bitcoin, which was, I think, 300 Bitcoins that he sold, it ended up being like $281 million or some ridiculous amount of money that it's equal to now, if he would have saved it. What else is another fact about Bitcoin? In Switzerland and in other parts of the world, they're really doing implants, like a chip, like a microchip. They put it inside of your skin, the size of a grain of rice, and you can buy, anywhere that takes Bitcoin, you just scan it right there, you just put your hand right there, and you can pay for stuff, and the form of payment is Bitcoin. If this kind of gives you a hint of where I believe that this is going, I don't see why not. I think it's a great idea. I don't agree with where it's going, but it gets very interesting. Very interesting. You can actually, I mean, if you've heard about the the dark web, the way you make payments to there, like if you want to buy like a missile, or you want to buy somebody's head, or you want to buy something illegal, weapons or anything like that, you're not gonna pay with the cash, guys. You're gonna pay with it with cryptocurrency. You're gonna pay with Bitcoin, you know. So where do I imagine that a lot of the cartel money is, or a lot of the drug money is, or a lot of illegal money is? I want to say it's in cryptocurrency, because it's untraceable. It's decentralized money. You know, so if I go to Mexico today and I have $10,000 with me, cash, and they find that out, you know, I'm going to get a big, big fine. You cannot cross $10,000 from there to here or from here to there without you declaring and without you having a valid reason why and paying taxes on it. If you have $10,000, you know, either you're bringing or taking to another country. But guess what? If I have Bitcoin, I can literally go to Mexico right now, collect $1 million from one of my friends, and put it in my digital cryptocurrency wallet via a computer over there. I mean, I don't even have to go there, but they say that I was just to go over there and receive something, or, you know, give some kind of a service, or do something that they're going to give me $1 million. So we do the transaction over there. And as I'm doing the transaction over there, it'll go in automatically. By the time I'm back in LA, I'm already going to have my $1 million. And those $1 million, they don't have to be, it's not a physical wallet that you get. It's not an actual coin that you get. It's in this other thing that's called the blockchain. And that's another conversation for another day. So anyway, so this cryptocurrency thing, it's a really big deal. It's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. And at some point it beat gold, right? Gold was like $1,800 an ounce for like years. It went down to $1,200. It fluctuated up and down to $1,800. So one Bitcoin a few weeks ago was like, I think it was like 13,700 or so. And then it started going down. And right now it's kind of low. Right now it's like 7,700 and something. So it's going down. But it'll go back up. I mean, it's just up and down, up and down. So it's pretty violent. It's not for the weak. It's not for the people that don't want to take risk. But I'm telling you, I think there's a whole future coming up in the cryptocurrency. And if there happens to be another war, I think that gold is going to be not obsolete. I mean, gold is gold. But I want to say that there's a reason why cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, as you say, let's say Bitcoin is worth 10 times more than an ounce of gold in 10 years. So 10 years ago, in 2009, one Bitcoin was worth 10 cents. 10 cents. And now it's worth more than that. More than 10 times worth than that. What else? I don't know. I just think it's bigger than what we think. I think it's the next system that the world is gonna adapt, because the system that we have right now, I mean, we have paper money, we have gold. I mean, we have it, you know, it's backed up by gold, and we don't even have that much gold. We just keep borrowing, and I mean, it's just a mess. So the big world governments are starting to really, really look at this, you know. They want the next presidential election to be through this thing called the blockchain. And the blockchain, I mean, that's where like the security of securities, unhackable system, you know. And that's where the Bitcoin is. That's where Bitcoin comes from the blockchain. So anyways, I know I'm messing with you guys' head, but everything that I'm telling you is legit. Research it. Talk to me. All right, I'll do my research on that, because that's my next thing that I'll be talking about. Take care. Let me know how you guys like my podcast, guys. All right? See you later. Take care now. And give me a call sometime.